Where the model and the garden meet, what issues will swing the votes in the new Wicklow-Wexford constituency? Will it be childcare and transport for the growing commuter population? Or, like the rest of the country, will it be housing, infrastructure and services? We look at all of that and more on tonight's late debate with candidates from the newly formed constituency of Wicklow-Wexford. Joining me in studio tonight are four of those candidates. Green Party candidate Anne Walsh, Fine Gael candidate Brian Brennan, Sinn Féin candidate Fiontán O'Sullivan and Fianna Fáil candidate Malcolm Byrne. Also running in the constituency are Aonthu's Sinead Boland, Solidarity candidate Aisling O'Keefe, Independent candidate Pierre Leonard. They were invited to take part in tonight's debate but weren't available, and Fianna Fáil, which is represented tonight, is also running a second candidate, Pat Kennedy. Now, you can stream tonight's programme at rte.ie/Radio 1, or you can watch us on the RTE News channel shortly, in about 10 minutes or so after prime time wraps up, and we'll make this programme available as a podcast right after the show when it ends at 11 o'clock. And so, as I say, to Wicklow Wexford, a new constituency created by the Electoral Commission this year, where there are three seats up for grabs. Now, shortly before we came on air, we spoke to the political editor with the Journal, Christina Finn, to tell us about the constituency. And she began by first laying out the boundaries of this constituency.
Yeah, so the Wicklow-Wexford constituency is obviously a new one, and it incorporates 31 electoral districts from Wicklow and 41 from Wexford. So what we're talking about here is anywhere south of Wicklow Town, Kilmuckridge, Rathdrum, Tinnahealy, and then into Wexford. So we're talking anywhere north of Enniscorthy, basically. So a brand new constituency with lots of new players looking for those three seats in this constituency.
All right, so a very new constituency. We can't really talk about the history of it as it currently stands, but extrapolating from what we know about the old Wicklow and Wexford constituencies, run us through what the background to this area is.
Yeah, so obviously Wicklow would have been a five-seater, and when the Electoral Commission, when it's doing its assessment of new TDs that it wants to incorporate into the next doll, it was decided to sort of put an in-between constituency. Some people have been sort of describing it stuck between South Wicklow and having a brand new one there. Some people calling it Wexford, whichever way you want to describe it. It's had plenty of new names. So it's going to be an interesting one in terms of the dynamics of it in the past. Interestingly, I think the big focus is on Arklow Town in particular, a big town there, and it's never actually had a TD. So that's going to be, I think, one of the main focuses as we head into the count there on the Saturday, looking to see whether it will finally get one of those TDs over the line from that area.
Tell us about what kind of issues will swing the votes in this constituency. It's obviously quite near Dublin, relatively speaking, in terms of today's commuter beltology. So is that one of the issues, and what are the other ones?
Yeah, definitely. Similar to Wicklow, I would say it has very interesting issues in terms of, as you said, that commuter belt, that commuter, voter that's travelling up perhaps to Dublin. So what we're going to be talking about and seeing, I think, is a lot of transport issues, connectivity, perhaps talk of that N11 road and the congestion that's been on that. But also it does have an agricultural aspect to it. So again, it does have that sort of large urban and rural areas. So it takes in a lot, I think. I think housing as well will definitely be an issue there. It's at play. It's still relatively close to Dublin. You know, the house prices in any of those sort of commuter belts have been going up. So I think those will be the key issues that we'll see play out within this new constituency.
And that was the Journal political editor Christina Finn running us through some of the issues in the constituency earlier, as well as where the constituency is. So we've heard the issues, and now let's get to the candidates. Before we do that, though, I just want to get a bit of housekeeping out of the way. We do want to hear from everyone here, and we do have a bit of time, obviously. So in order to hear from everyone, we'll need everyone to refrain from interrupting. We'll come back to you for responses in the course of the programme. We've deliberately made it easy to avoid interruption because candidates are going to get 2 minutes at the top to introduce themselves and lay out what their candidacy is about. And as I say, we'll follow up with specific questions and fill in some time for rebuttal during the course of the programme. We're going to begin tonight with Fine Gael candidate Brian Brennan. Your 2 minutes starts now. Why are you the person to take the seat in Wicklow-Wexford?
Good evening, Colm, and good evening to your listeners. I'm Brian Brennan. I'm running for Fine Gael. My family we all lived in Gorey. My father had a business there for literally 30 years, and I and my family are still living there. But I spent all of my working life in Arklow, and I feel that between the two constituencies, I know exactly what's going on and what the needs are. As mentioned early on in the programme, in this new constituency, at the moment, we have 85,000 people that are able to vote, but we have no sitting TV. Now, this is a huge, this really, really shows, especially in Arklow. And my goal is to try and be a voice for that area. It really needs a voice. It shows so badly on the main street, the infrastructure. Also, Gorey is a huge town. It's developing very, very quickly. And what it needs a voice. It hasn't got a voice for the last 5 years at national level. So that's so, so important. Infrastructure there is a huge problem. Gorey, people often say Gorey is one of the best towns in Leinster. I disagree with that. I think Gorey is one of the best towns in Ireland, but it's a victim of its own success. So Gorey needs to be guided along the way as it's increasing, the population continues to increase, but the infrastructure is not matching the increase in population.
Okay. Fiontán O'Sullivan, your 2 minutes on why you believe you're the candidate that will best give the constituency the best run for its money.
Good evening, Colm, and listeners. Well, firstly, I live right on the Wexford-Wicklow border, so I'm right in the centre of the constituency. It's been a part of my natural hinterland all my life. I've spent 11 years as a very active county councillor in that area. Lifelong Republican. I've been Lasca Hearlach of the local municipal district, which runs up as far as Arklow, on two occasions. I've been a special education teacher in a Gael school and have worked in lots of the local schools. I'm very familiar with school and issues. I've also been on the boards of management of three secondary schools and on the Southeastern Education Training Board and the Joint Policing Committee, which covers Wicklow and Wexford. So I would be familiar with a lot of those issues. In terms of a lot of the issues which are coming up to me, which people are asking me to represent them on, are basically housing and more housing. We've had a 14% increase in population in the Gorey LEA. Arklow has also seen a big increase as well. We have a lot of the working poor or the squeezed middle. The man or woman that we were promised would be looked after for getting up early in the morning. They're paying exorbitant rents. There hasn't been a single affordable category home delivered in this constituency by the government. So we have people getting up early at dawn, fighting through traffic, childcare, getting children dropped off, coming back, picking them up in the evening. They don't have an upgraded rail system. They're forced into traffic gridlock. They don't have the infrastructure, the GPs, the dentists. A lot of people I meet through the school system have children who are waiting on CAMHS for mental health assessments. They're waiting on different children's assessments. And I believe that Sinn Féin has a huge plan for dealing with these people in terms of looking after them. We're going to have the biggest housing programme in the history of the state. It's a 109-page document. We have a huge plan on healthcare that would make those people pay €10 per day maximum. We're going to upgrade the rail links to Dublin. We're going to implement the healthcare plan.
Your time is up. We will come back to you. That's your two minutes up. But Anne Walsh, your pitch for why you're the candidate.
Good evening, Colin, and thank you for inviting us to discuss our new constituency. I suppose my vision for the constituency, it's no different than anybody else around the table. Really, we want a thriving community where people have access to affordable homes and access to services. But I think what we need to understand, and this is why I joined the Green Party and this is why I'm so passionate about it, is a thriving economy and a thriving society only happens within a thriving environment. And for that, we need to build on the incredible work already done by the Green Party, a very, very small party in a coalition government in terms of public transport, transport in terms of retrofitting. We want to continue to support and incentivise our farmers in any transitions that they need to make. From a housing perspective, I'm very interested in derelict and vacant housing. And I think Brian or any of the Fiontán or Malcolm would agree with me. You take a walk around, particularly Arklow, but even Gorey or even the hinterlands, you could come back and name a place where there's 10, 15, 20 vacant or derelict properties. So the Green Party were fundamental in pursuing the allowing for the the grant for the derelict housing grant, sorry, up to 70,000 if it's a derelict house and up to 50,000 if it's a vacant property. One last thing I just want to mention is a postcode lottery when it comes to services in health, and particularly home care services in the area of disability. We live on the Wexford-Wicklow border. I live in County Wexford, but we have a County Wicklow address. I have a family member with quite a severe physical disability. If we lived a mile up the road, we would have quadruple hours of PA services than a mile down the road in County Wexford. It's a complete postcode lottery when it comes to home care services.
OK, we will come back to you. That's your 2 minutes up. Malcolm Byrne, your pitch.
Well, thanks, Colm, and good evening to the listeners. Malcolm Byrne is my name. I grew up in Gorey. I was the eldest of five children. My dad, Miles, was road overseer with Wexford County Council, and my mum, Mary, was a paediatric nurse. She worked with St Aidan Services in Gorey, but she's originally from Arklow. She grew up at St Kevin's Terrace in Arklow, so I know both Gorey and Arklow very well. And I suppose what makes me unique among all of the candidates, I would argue, that are running in this constituency is that I'm by far the most politically experienced, having been involved in politics for 25 years. It's not just about being able to listen to communities on the ground. I also know how to deliver results. And I think what's critical is both being able to listen, but also to know how to get investment within our communities, but also how to impact on national legislation. I believe I'm best placed to be able to do that. In terms of some of the issues which are priorities for me, yes, certainly housing, and critical is affordable housing to ensure that those who aspire to own their own home are going to be able to do that. Access to GPs, and particularly in Gorey, to deliver our primary care centre, and indeed particularly also access to mental health services. There's a big issue around ensuring improvements to some of the schools in the area. 5 years ago in Gorey, there was a big challenge around secondary school places, and I was involved in a campaign to ensure that was addressed through the building of the Gorey Educate Together Secondary School. We now need to ensure that, for instance, the Gael School and Gael Coláiste in Arklow is completed, that the work in Coláiste Breed in Carnew is also finished, that the significant work that's required at Bunclody Community College is addressed. There are issues around transport, as has been mentioned. A very important sector in our constituency is agriculture. We've got to ensure that the family farm remains financially sustainable and we see generation renewable. And finally, I do think for ordinary, decent taxpayers within our constituency, they do deserve to see a break. Okay. They want to make sure work matters.
All right. OK, everybody has been looking at the constituency. They've laid out some of the challenges. We'll get through a number of the issues that you've raised there. But as I think everybody has mentioned, Gorey is a growing town. Arklow, with additional water and waste infrastructure coming on stream, is set to grow even more. So can we start with the services that those towns will require? What's your proposal, first of all, to increase the supply of teachers, doctors and dentists that the constituency will need, and also then to attract them to the town? We'll start in the reverse order to which we began. Malcolm Byrne, you first.
So I think it's important that, one, the process of politics is understood. So let's look at the issue of GP shortages, for example, which is one of the biggest issues. And people talk about not being able to get on a GP waiting list, or indeed the length of time that happens. One thing that's critical for Gorey is the primary care centre gets built. Finally, the contract for expressions of interest, the call for expressions of interest on that, is going to be issued tomorrow. But one of the things that Minister Stephen Donnelly has done is increase the number of GP training places nationally to 350. So we will see at the end of a 3 year period 1,000 extra GPs coming out and into the system. I think one of the things that I'd say for Arklow is there's now huge potential in Arklow with the completion of the wastewater treatment plant. That will allow Arklow to see significant expansion. And I think it's important that it's planned, not just that we see housing, but that communities are also built. For me, because I'm very heavily involved in the arts and in sport, we need to ensure, for instance, that we see a theatre and arts space created in Arklow, as well as, for instance, the Carr Leisure Centre in Arklow being addressed. Plus also, I think we've been very fortunate in Gorey, and I would cite this as an example of, you know, my work as a local politician. We have a super town park based in Gorey. We have a major expansion at St. Walleran's of a new sporting pitch. We've seen very significant investment in sports clubs right across the South Wicklow and North Wexford area. And I'd sort of say Fianna Fáil is the party of sport has delivered on that. And in building communities, we've got to ensure that it's not just housing that's built, which is absolutely critical, but we put in place the necessary educational, health and community facilities, including for the arts and sport. I mentioned on the school side, I'm passionate about investment in education. I talked about the schools that need to be completed. Part of that is about looking at long-term projections that are needed in terms of school places at both primary and second level, and then also ensuring that we have access to education and training places at higher and further education level as well.
Okay. Anne Walsh, for the necessary services for the people who are going to be needed, be that teachers, doctors, dentists and the like, to attract them to the town, and secondly, I suppose, the Green Party's proposal to increase the overall supply of them in the first place.
Well, obviously, the Green Party, and I would concur with Malcolm on this, is we need to and Stephen Donnelly, in fairness, is delivering on that, training more doctors and attracting more teachers. And it is housing, but it's also infrastructure as well, and the cost of housing. And from a cost of housing perspective, because we have teachers and we even have guards and whatever who are struggling to buy a house in Gorey, in any commuter town, really. And I suppose from a Green Party's perspective, we're looking at cost rental as a model for attracting particularly, you know, teachers and guards and people who are just starting off in their careers. And for the first time ever, and actually this was the Green Party who introduced the cost rental model, there's 440 houses that have been built, and we plan to deliver 50 to 53,000 homes, 12,000 of those would be social homes, but 15,000 would be state-backed affordable cost rental homes. And excuse me. And then with that, what we would do as well is we would actually have an agency, so we'd have capital for building those houses. So we would establish a National Citizens Housing Fund where people could actually invest in this fund, and then we would then there would be affordable housing constructed, and that obviously would be there to attract those people in. From a GP perspective, again, we need to continue the momentum with training and keeping people in the country. I think that's really, really important as well, that we don't export our GPs. So, yeah.
Okay. Fiontano Suluan, the same question to you, attracting the people into the towns that will be needed in order to support the growing communities.
Well, I suppose, firstly, Colm, just in terms of the facilities, I would agree also that Arklow Primary Care Centre needs to be delivered. An ambulance service needs to be, an ambulance station for Gorey needs to be delivered also. Arklow needs to have the services in its primary care centre expanded. Also, I've met many community groups in the Arklow area who are crying out for a public space. They haven't got the facilities. And I was delighted to see the recent development with the Alps in Arklow, which will see a theatre delivered for the area. There's a massive housing programme needed. Once the waste treatment plant finishes, we're going to need to see housing taken off, and we have a plan put in place to have the biggest housing delivery programme in the history of the state based on affordable housing and affordable rents. And back to your second part of the question on doctors and dentists, I mean, that's a massive issue in the area. My own nephew left for Australia as a newly qualified doctor last year because doctors are not valued in this country. They don't feel valued. That's, they'll tell you that from abroad. In terms of dentists, as a primary school teacher, I see this in the system. The dentistry system is worse now at primary level than it was when I was going to school, and that's not today or yesterday. In primary level, my own child was supposed to have his teeth and eyes checked in second class. That's at age 8. He is now in secondary school. That never happened. So this is something that's gone completely backwards from 50 years ago when I was going to school, when I started off in school. So in terms of healthcare, we in Sinn Féin, like, we have a massive plan. No other party has put together such a comprehensive plan as we have. We have met over 150 separate groups and had submissions from them. David Cullinan would be our health minister. As I say, no other party has done this, and we will cut the waiting lists for people. We will bring the young doctors and young nurses who are forced off to the far end of the world. We will bring them back home to rebuild Ireland, to rebuild a health service here. We will ensure that everybody that needs access to a GP or a dentist will have one when they need one.
Okay.
We plan to end the crisis in A&E. And lastly, we will stop the waste of the billions on healthcare, which is happening
at
the moment.
Your time is up. Just before we continue, I'd ask any of the candidates here to refrain from mentioning people in other constituencies, but anybody who wants to look up the full list of people running for election in this, the most up-to-date list, you can go to rte.ie/constituencies to see people who are running. But before you do that, hang on and listen to the next candidate, Brian Brennan. Just to reiterate the question, attracting the necessary services into the town, particularly GPs, dentists and the like, for a growing community, what would your proposal be to increase the supply, number one, and attract them into the area, number two?
Absolutely. As I said, taking Gorey first, Gorey is a hugely developing town. What we need is obviously a primary healthcare centre, but my question is, why are we waiting 25 years? Why are we hearing now that it's going to be announced tomorrow? To me, that is the serious question that's around this table. You look at schools. You look at a school in Gaelscoil in Arklow. Why did I meet a girl that started in junior infants in Gaelscoil, Arklow? Now she's teaching there. So she spent all her educational life in a prefab. 26 years. Why are we asking this question? Yes, you can say my party are in power, but I'm coming here. This is my first time I've ever run, but I'm coming in here with a different perspective. There are serious issues. I can reiterate what our three candidates said beside me, but my question here is why? And I want to get into Dáil Éireann to ask that question. Arklow is going to have a game changer in the first quarter of next year. We're going to have our wastewater treatment plant. But is the infrastructure there? Why did it take me 40 minutes to drive from the church in Templeraney to my office in Arklow today? That's wrong. We need a second bridge. We need a second link to the main road. These are long-term solutions. But Arklow needs help. Arklow is on its knees. We can look at the situation. As I said earlier on, there's 85,000 people in this constituency, but they've had no representation at national level. And my God, does that show in Arklow. Going back to Gorey. Gorey has fantastic developments coming up with St. Walden and Esmond Street and the Market House. But if you're looking at St. Walden's, great announcements last week with getting our major approximately 5 million of grant aid. But is the infrastructure there? How can you drive up and down to that pitch? It's absolutely, Ballyteagan Road is jammed at the moment. It's dangerous at the moment. So the infrastructure has to work in parallel with these developments. But my question, as I said at the start, is why are we discussing this now, a school in prefabs for 26 years?
Okay, we are going to give every candidate, but you've heard everybody's opening pitch. You've also heard the answer to that question. We're going to give you a minute each now to either pick up on and rebut something you've heard in a previous candidate's pitch, or indeed, if you feel you've run out of time in your initial statement, to elaborate on something that you didn't get to elaborate on before. We'll start with you, Anne Walsh, from the Green Party.
I just want to pick up on two points in particular there that came out from both Malcolm and Brian. Malcolm was talking about political experience and being the most politically experienced. I know Malcolm a long time. I know he's very politically experienced. I actually ran beside him in 2016 in the old Wexford constituency. But I also have lived experience. I have lived experience both professionally and personally in the area of disability. I've also worked in the area of mental health. And I think we can't underestimate lived experience. We all have to start someplace. And, you know, I do understand the legislative process. I've been involved in politics actually since 2007. I suppose the personal being political, I was involved in it a long time before that. But so I just wanted to pick up on that one. And the other one was Brian's comment on the second bridge in Arklow. I would suggest either walking or cycling or increasing funding like the Green Party have been doing in active travel. And I think that's really, really important. We're trying to decarbonise. We're trying to get people out of cars. We're trying to get them into public transport. You know, for physical and mental health, active travel is really important. Okay. So they're the two things.
There's your minute up. Malcolm Byrne, a minute.
Well, I'm going to respond to Brian's question, why? And I mean, I'm glad he acknowledged a lot of the progress that we've seen in Goree and North Wexford in terms of the St. Walleran Sporting Complex, which I've been very heavily involved in for the last 2 years. We've seen the development of the town park, the building of two second level schools over the last 10 to 12 years. And I was involved in those campaigns in Crea College and in Goree Educate Together Secondary School. And I'll put the point, that's what political experience that I've been able to offer has been to deliver. I mean, the question why, I mean, Brian has practically been Velcroed to Simon Harris's shoulder over the last number of months. Simon Harris, as Taoiseach, is meant to be a TD for Arklow and has clearly failed to deliver. And what I would say to the people of Arklow is, look at my record as a public representative in the Goree area and what I will be able to do, along with my running mate Pat Kennedy, to be able to deliver for Arklow and South Wicklow. And I would just say, and I'm conscious that we're talking a lot here about Arklow and Goree, the constituency is a lot bigger. Okay. There are a lot of other issues in areas like Kinmuckridge and Munclody.
We will get to some of those issues. But Brian Brennan, to you next. A minute to either rebut or give further detail on something else you want to say.
No, I take on board, but I love being patronised by this word, political experience. I have experience in life. I had 600 people working for me. I know the heights of business, but I also know the lows of business. So I hope, coming in with a different perspective, political experience is excellent, but it's not everything. Business experience is real life. Getting a cheque, whether it's farming or whether it's working in a hotel. If you don't get a margin on whether selling a pint of Guinness or selling a bag of potatoes, that's what it's about. It's the exact same thing. Business is business. And to have a real feel of business is so important. To deal with 600 people, to make sure that they're paid every Thursday. That's real life experience. So please don't patronise me on speaking about political experience.
Okay, Fiontano Sulawan.
Yeah, I just think that's a very interesting point that Brian made in relation to the Gaelcláiste in Arklow. I was in there recently at the open night and I met the prefect, and he told me that he was in Leaving Cert, he was age 18. He said that he remembered in junior infants the sod turning ceremony for the new school, and there hasn't been a block put on the ground since. So I think that's shocking. And as a Gael school teacher, I would certainly like to see that. Certainly agree that the wastewater plant will create huge opportunities for Arklow in terms of there's no excuse now to stop social and affordable house building. And the second bridge will be hugely necessary. In terms of Malcolm's political experience, I've heard that line quite often now. I have a lot of lived experience as well as a special ed teacher and juggling all sorts of responsibilities in every aspect of my life. Now, the problem I have with political experience is I think Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have had too much political experience. We've had a century of their experience as government. They have failed to deliver in terms of housing. They've failed to deliver in terms of healthcare. They've failed to deliver in terms of public infrastructure. They've failed to deliver in terms of childcare. And I think after 100 years, it's surely to God it's time to give another party a chance to deliver. And if we don't deliver, that's up to the electorate to decide to reject us in the subsequent election. So I think it's time to give other people a chance.
Okay. We're going to move on to the issue of transport, because it's a big issue in the constituency. It's a commuter constituency. There's also a lot of people who are tourists in the area or tourists travelling through to the rest of the southeast, going through the constituency as well. We're going to start with you, Anne Walsh, looking at the area of transport, and what makes you the credible candidate to deliver a solution to some of the transport issues besetting the Wicklow-Wexford constituency?
Well, I suppose I'll just start off with a very short anecdotal story. I got Wexford bus last Tuesday morning up to Dublin. I got it at 7:10 at the Arklow Rugby Club. It was an extra bus they had to put on because when Wexford bus got to Goree, it was full. So by the time they started a new bus in Goree and it arrived at Arklow bus stop, there was at least 30 people on the second bus and there was 25 waiting. Now, the Green Party, since they joined this government 4.5 years ago, have increased public transport by local links in particular, actually, fivefold. There's 100,000 local link journeys a week at the moment. Public transport costs for under 26s have gone down 60%. They've gone down 20% for everybody else. The Green Party are completely committed to a complete overhaul of our transport system. And that, you know, you talk about Dublin, you talk about light railways, you know, Pauline O'Reilly over... Oh, sorry, apologies. But, we're looking
specifically
at...
Specifically in your own constituency, but what solutions
and in
would
other
you look
cities,
at?
Yeah. It's specifically... Well, obviously, increasing the buses even more and having... having a model, it's like the Swiss model, so it's every village every hour. So you have a bus every hour into the local town from every village, 12 hours a day. Late bus services, late rail services, early bus services, late bus services. I don't think you will get a party that is as committed to improving transport as the Green Party.
Okay. Fionn Tono Sulawan, the transport issue. What are the big issues for you and why are you the person to deliver the solution?
Thanks, Colm. Locally, I suppose, I think that like we have a constituency that runs from the Wicklow Mountains down along to the Blackstairs Mountains skirting Carlow. So there's lots of rural isolated areas. There's a massive road network. There's a need for 194 million investment in the country, the back roads of County Wexford. That was the figure which was given to us. So there's a lot of isolated communities that have to have these local link bus services. I think that's definitely the way to go. Now, what I'm finding at the moment is a lot of people are being told that they need to move over to public transport, but they don't have the alternative to use a car. Like they're forced to use a car because they don't have the proper upgraded fit for purpose rail network to Dublin. But at the same time, they're being punished with massive hikes in the price of diesel, massive hikes in the price of petrol, which we as a party would stop. We would stop that hike and we'd actually reverse them. I think people need to be we need to have an incentivized system for rail use. The public transport is a massive issue for ourselves, and I think it would hugely improve the quality of people's lives if they could commute to Dublin in the morning, not be stuck in traffic gridlock. They could work by on their internet or on their laptop on the train, have their breakfast. So what we need to have is an upgraded rail line to Dublin. We need to have, after that, we need to have new rolling stock, basically faster, more modern, efficient trains. And after 14 years of and failure of Fine Gael in government, none of this is happening. I remember when I was going to college 35 years ago, it was actually quicker to get to Dublin by train than it is today. Like, what does that say? We're going in the wrong direction. So okay. We need a change.
Brian Brennan, the transport issue. What's your solution and why are you the person to deliver it?
Well, I'd look at this as a two-pronged solution. First of all, we need huge investment in our infrastructure. I've said that all along. Trains, bus and cars. First of all, on the second point on that, it's very, very important. I think we should try and get it separate to transport, but it's very much related. We should have more industry in our towns. Let the people work in the towns where they live. That will take the people off the roads. I met someone in Coolboy when I was out canvassing the other night, and they spend 2 hours going to Dublin and they spend 2 hours coming home. Now, there's so many aspects to that comment. Number one is their mental health. How in God's name can you spend 4 hours a day in a car? Number two, their carbon footprint. But if they were working in the town where they live, that would be a huge help in the solution for a transport. Like our rail system, as our previous candidate said, like how can it take 2 years? Brayhead, huge issues with closures, continuous closures going on there. We have to look at a long-term solution. How old are the trains? Are they big enough? Are they frequent enough? And why have we not got a basic bus corridor running up the N11? To me, that's beyond comprehension. I know my party have been in power, but as I keep repeating, I'm coming in with a fresh face and I know that these are issues that I'm getting at the doorstep in the last 3 months that I've been canvassing.
Okay, Malcolm Byrne, the transport issue, how would you solve it?
So, first of all, I have the experience of, you know, being a commuter for a long period. So whether it was during my time as chief executive of Community Games, working for a technology company or working with the Higher Education Authority. I spent much of the last 25 years commuting between Goree and Dublin. One of my earliest campaigns was about getting commuter bus and rail services to Goree, and indeed most recently about getting a late night rail service. So there are two real requirements, and what I would say to people is this is not a new issue for me. I've been campaigning on this. If people want to Google Malcolm Byrne and railway services, they'll see me campaigning on this over 25 years. One, we need to look at a double track the whole way down along Drosslare. That's a serious investment to give a real alternative to people to get out of their cars. It also means there's six-level crossings going into Dublin from Bray. We need to remove them. So we do need to upgrade the rail line. The second is around the M11. And anyone who's travelling on the M11, as I do regularly, will know that particularly in North Wicklow, and it impacts up to 10,000 people from the constituency every day, it becomes a car park from about 6:30, 6:45 every morning. We need to look at widening the road. We need to look at widening the areas there and give more options in terms of carpooling. And finally, I think what is critical, and I would agree with Brian this, is about providing support to remote working. The development of the Hatch Lab in Goree in the M11 Business Park was a critical aspect to this, and we see a lot of people now who are remote working. It is essential that we support measures such as the Hatch Lab. I want to see more business incubator units in rural areas. I'm part of the Oireachtas Committee on Remote Working that was recently established. It was headed up by John Evoy, who's a Wexford man. And I think by giving those opportunities for people to live in the constituency, because the quality of life in North Wexford and South Wicklow is second to none.
Okay, you've given your 2 minutes on transport. We're going to give you a minute for rebuttal on this. I'll go back to you, Brian Brennan. You've actually been very efficient in your time used to the point that you've undershot to a certain degree. Would you just elaborate on what you're talking about there, first of all, on trying to keep people in the constituency? And then if you want to pick up any other candidate for points of rebuttal, your 2 minutes starts now.
No, I agree, but it's important that we're very much speaking about the two main towns, but 80% of my constituency is rural. And that has to, my goal is to keep as much business. You look at small shops, small petrol stations that all around the area, little pubs and that, they're so important to the community. And to keep people in there, that will solve an opera. You'll give business locally, you'll reduce carbon footprint. It's so important that we support those people in rural, because you look at the farming community out there, that's a huge issue going on with farming in our area. There's so many issues I'm hearing, as I say, I've canvassed now for 3 months. You're hearing about succession, you're hearing about ash dieback, like TB in Wicklow is one. These are huge issues that we're not hearing enough about on national radio, and they're on the doors. Like farming is in crisis at the moment. If young people, the average age of farming is 60 years of age, of a farmer 60 years of age. I went down to Monaghan last week and I met a farmer in the yard, and he was devastated. He'd left his two children to the airport to go to Australia. And he felt that there was two reasons. Number one, there wasn't a living in farming. And number two, the lifestyle has no appeal to the young people. So we have to look at that. We have to look how we can address the cost factors in farming to make it more profitable. We have to look at all the bureaucracy in farming. Why is there so much paperwork? I met another farmer, he was going out to milk. And he says milking is like therapy now to get away from the bookwork. You know, it's they really are struggling, and we need to help that here, because it's a huge part of our constituency. That's the point I'm making.
We'll come back with a specific question on agriculture, and if you want to address that again, we'll give you a chance to do so. Anne Walsh, do you want to take a minute to rebut anything you've heard in any of the previous candidates on that issue of transport?
I couldn't really rebut anything, because I think everybody is talking about having, you know, better public transport infrastructure, and particularly Malcolm, what he was saying about the rail link to Rosslare. I think that's really, really important. Just picking up on the remote working, actually the Green Party do want to enshrine the right to request remote working for every every worker. I mean, obviously essential workers can't do that, but at the moment it's parents that can do it. But just that people would have the right to at least request it. I think that's really, really important. And just another thing Brian mentioned, and it is about decentralisation. And people talk about a lot about regenerating our towns and villages with above shop and above premises living. I'm sure all of us here are old enough to remember people lived above their family businesses, lived above the shops, or rented it out to, you know, a local young person who wanted to leave home or whatever. So,
Time up. Fiontano Suluan, a minute to rebut.
Yeah, I certainly will. Well, I certainly agree with the previous points in terms of remote working and having people living locally. Living locally, it makes such a difference. I know of a man who was commuting every morning from Gorey to Dublin. He got a heart attack in the traffic. And after that, after his recovery, he ended up working from the Hatch Lab in Gorey, which is a remote working living. And he said his quality of life improved. He was dropping his child into the school where I work. He was training a local sports team. He had extra hours. He had an extra 4 hours a day. His health improved massively. The fact that he didn't have to get stuck in traffic gridlock every single morning and fighting back in the evening. He had better health for himself. He was able to better for quality of life with his children. Far better family life. So I think the secret certainly is to build up these local towns, have the services and the facilities in them that people can work locally. I certainly agree with Brian's point on farming. Farming is in a massive crisis at the moment. Amanda, I know...
We're coming to that next, so hold off on that. And coincidentally, your time is also up, so it will be our next question. But just... Malcolm Byrne, you can either agree or rebut with the minute you have there.
I'm glad we will come to agriculture, but I think one area of the constituency that hasn't been mentioned is actually the fifth largest urban area in County Wexford, which is Cortown River Chapel. And I think in terms of transport links, and Anne was right, that we need to look at questions around local link. We need to enhance, for instance, the local link service between Gorey and Cortown River Chapel, but also between other towns and villages. I think a project that 20 years ago I was involved in starting, the Gorey to Cortown footpath, it's now coming close to completion, but in terms of active travel, we're seeing a lot more people using it. So certainly it is a case when we build those footpaths and so on, people do. The only other in terms of a major road infrastructure or something is, I think for somewhere like Bunclody, right on the N80, we do need to look at the idea of a bypass for Bunclody. It's a beautiful town, but it's choked up with traffic. The town isn't availing of its full potential. And I think, and I get, some of the Green Party.
We have to leave that there because we do want to get on to the issue of agriculture. Obviously, as several of you have mentioned, it's not just an urban constituency. There's a sizable rural electorate. So what is going to be done for farmers on behalf of farmers if you're elected? The Wicklow IFA rep, Tom Short, said that tillage supports were less than half of what was sought in the last budget, €100 versus €250 per hectare that they had been looking for. We'll start with you, Fiontano Sulu, on the farming issue. What would you do for the farmers in the constituency?
Well, I come from a farm, Colm, and so I understand the issues of farming. I have brothers who are farmers. I meet farmers all the time. I know for a fact to talk, and I was a friend that I know from Askamore. He challenged Simon Harris last week. He basically said he has a son, Tomás, age 14, who I used to teach, and he said the son absolutely loves farming, and I can testify that to him. He wants to hand over the farm to him, and this is something that's really important to him. But he says at the moment, the incomes from farming is making it basically impossible that you could consider handing a farm over to your son or daughter. There's a massive exodus of people being driven from the land. Farm incomes in some way are just less than you get on the dole in many cases. We certainly need to support farm families, keep them on the land. We need to cut down on a lot of the bureaucracy. There's a crippling bureaucracy which is strangling farmers in a lot of ways. And of course, tillage farmers need actually extra supports because what they've gone through over the past couple of years, I've met quite a few of them in the IFA, and some of them said neighbours that they know have been suicidal because the weather conditions over the past couple of years, which has really exacerbated the problems. But the problems have been there structurally because the move is towards bigger and bigger farms, and we see a mass exodus of the smaller farm from the land, and they need to get the required supports. And the IFA has produced a massive document on this, and I think we need to implement that document.
All right, time up. Malcolm Byrne.
So I think we come from a very rich agricultural area in the Wicklow-Wexford constituency in terms of food production. Our farmers are absolutely vital. We have a lot of food companies within the constituency that are critical to the local economy and contribute in a big way. I'm thinking of, for instance, Stafford's Bakeries in Gorey, employing 500 people, one of the biggest bakeries in the country, but also the small providers like Saltrock Dairies in Tara Hill, Brennan's Beers coming out of Corton. So you have a lot of these very innovative food producers as well within the area. There are a couple of issues that I think are critical we need to address. And my party is very clear. The nitrates derogation, we will be defending that. It's one of the red line issues, which Micheál Martin outlined very clearly. We will be supporting measures, and it's why Charlie McCreevy established the Commission on Generation Renewal in Farming. I've regularly engaged with Mochran Affirm, and Wexford Mochra is one of the most active in the country. We look at other very innovative things, even within our constituency, the Kavanagh brothers in Ballycarney, who are looking to establish the first commercial flour mill back in Ireland. I think what's crucial in agriculture for the next period is we are now moving towards the negotiation of the next common agricultural policy. And I think with the new commissioner, I'm quite enthused, having listened to Christoph Hansen, the new EU agriculture commissioner, in terms of some of the issues that he's highlighted, particularly around the sustainability of family farms.
Your time is up. I want to go to Green Party's Anne Walsh on your vision for farmers in your constituency. What can you do for them?
Well, the area I live in is actually, there's a lot of dairy farms around. And one of the reasons I actually decided to run in this election was, a couple of years ago, one of the local dairy farmers asked me, was I running? And he said, I've never voted Green before, but I will vote for you, because he said, the Greens are the only ones who are being honest with us. So I thought that was really interesting. I was at a hustings a long time ago, and somebody from the IFA came up to me and said, I spoke the most sense. And actually all I did was speak about organic food production. I mean, and the Green Party have been leading the way in encouraging farmers to go organic. And I mean, we have a target of 15% by 2035, but there's actually over 4,100 organic farmers at the moment. And I just want to pick up on what Malcolm said about the nitrates derogation. I mean, long term, that isn't sustainable, because even at a EU level, that cannot continue. And farmers are the best people. They know their land, they know nature, they know biodiversity, and they understand this. And the Green Party hope to develop a Young Farmers for Nature programme, and also increase funding and advisory support for diversification. I mean, we look at the acres scheme as well there. So there's so many supports coming on board, and the Green Party understand the science.
Okay. Brian Brennan, the issue of farming and supports for farmers. What's your proposal to help the farmers in the constituency?
I cannot overemphasise the importance of farming in both Gorey, Arklow, North Wexford, South Wicklow. When I was young, we had a pub in Gorey, and on Mart Day, if the prices were good, we had a great day. If the prices were bad, we had a bad day. The influence on farming, the spend coming out of the farms. As I said, my major issue is why young farmers are leaving on a conveyor belt out of the farmyard, and they're not coming back. They're not getting the prices we deserved. And the main issue, we're not letting farmers do what they're good at. Let farmers farm. Yes, we've loads of issues. I've mentioned TB in Wicklow, the amount of cases. Why are we that high? The cost of that and what we're doing about it. The nitrates issue, that's been mentioned before. Succession, mental health. We have to sit down with the farming bodies. We have to talk to them, because they're such an important part to play in this constituency.
Okay. And your solution, just be in the short time remaining to you, what's your signature proposal to help farmers?
It's all about interacting. It's letting them, hearing them, they haven't got the voice they need. We have to sit down with all the relevant parties, including the IFA, including every sector of the farming community, because they're just not getting the prices they deserved. They're not happy. It's in a very bad... Where will we go? If farming is gone, what's going to happen? Okay. Where will our food supply come from?
Okay, your time is up on that. We want to move to another area that is prominent in the election, certainly was prominent in the local and European elections, and that's the issue of immigration. There were protests earlier this year in Arklow against an international protection applicants being housed in the old air building. I want to ask, first of all, did you support the protests? And if so, why? Or if not, why not? Fiontán O'Sullivan, to you first.
Basically, Colm, I support local communities, generally working class communities and rural, in opposing government policy. I think that the government has showed a contemptible attitude towards local working class and rural communities. They've refused to engage in any meaningful way with them. They have been imposing IPAS centres across Ireland in a very iron-fisted way at the behest of speculators, investment funds and get-rich-quick cowboys. Now, I have a long track record on this. This is now, I'm not a Johnny-come-lately on this. I've been raising this for 6 years in the county council when you could hear a pin drop. Nobody could be even look up their head, but they'd all agree with you outside to say, you know, I agree with what you're saying, but we can't really say it out loud. Now, this system has been called out, has been a farce. The system has been a shambles. The model is completely unsustainable. Arklow, for instance, that centre you mentioned, they have a badly need for a community centre in the area. Sinn Féin would establish an immigration management agency, okay, would quickly process
I'm afraid
we would enforce it robustly.
Okay, in the time we have allowed, we're only going to give people a minute each on this. Anne Walsh, the protest, did you support it? If so, why? If not, why not?
No, I didn't. And the reason I didn't is we are a nation of immigrants who become immigrants in other countries, and I think a lot of the people coming in are coming for very legitimate reasons, be persecution, be it trafficking, be it fleeing from climate chaos or whatever it is. Everybody has a valid reason for coming in, even if it is economic. We've been around the world for economic reasons as well. I understand that people might have concerns, but I think there is a way of voicing those concerns. And, I do think that, in fairness to Minister O'Gorman, I think no minister could have coped as well as he could. He coped over the last few years with what was going on in terms of people coming in because of Ukraine and whatever. So really the Green Party are looking at a dedicated asylum and integration agency. So where we integrate the International Protection Office and the International Protection Accommodation Service together, and we process asylum seekers fairly and quickly and deliver 14,000 state-owned beds on state-owned sites. We have to provide integration supports. And like I said, I do understand people's concerns, but I think you can have concerns and still be respectful of other people.
Okay. Malcolm Byrne.
So I think there are a number of issues here, and there are a number of people.
Just the specific issue of that protest first. Did you support it or not?
No, because I felt that there were some aspects of it. Of course, people have a right to engage in peaceful protest. And I think a lot of the concerns that were expressed needed to be addressed. There are unfortunately some elements who are exploiting it for particular purposes. We need to look at the migration issue, and we do need to have an honest debate on that. I think there are a number of people who are coming to this country, and a lot of the issues get conflated. In the first instance, there are a lot of people who are coming here to work, and there's a lot of jobs in North Wexford and South Wicklow that can only be filled by those who are coming from outside. There are many who are fleeing war and oppression. And I think if you look at, one of the news stories that was barely covered this week is that this week we passed 1,000 days since Putin's invasion of Ukraine. And I think if you look at actually the positive experiences within our communities, because I think this is more, and we never talk about the positives. I look at groups like Gore Youth Needs Group, which provided a very positive welcome to a lot of the Ukrainians who came into our community. And there can be positive experiences.
It is important, but we have to be fair with our time. Brian Brennan, the protest in Arklow, first of all, about the use of the air building. Did you support the protest? If so, why? If not, why not?
I did not support a protest, but I feel a lot of this was down to consultation. I know a lot of very good people that were protesting that night. They had genuine concerns, but the amount of false information, like where are we today? Nothing happened there. So there was an awful lot of false information being spun across social media because it was very, very good people that were genuinely concerned. I am very happy with our party's line of being firm and fair. There was, in the early stages of this whole migration, there was economic migration. That was wrong. People were coming to Ireland for money. Not everybody, but people were. I was lucky enough to work in Sri Lanka for the last 5 years. They have been through hell over there. The government's been overturned. The country literally went bankrupt. Those people, some of those people went to Ireland. They knew Ireland was coming down as a soft touch. It was easy to get into Ireland and it was easy to get through the system and you got looked after.
You'd appreciate Sri Lanka has been through a brutal war against the Tamil Tigers. There are many people who would have had legitimate reasons to leave Sri Lanka.
That's exactly what I'm saying. I'm totally agreeing. And this is 2 years ago when I'm standing on the streets of Sri Lanka and there's riots on the streets and the government was overturned. This is the time. This is in the last 2 years. That's what I'm talking about. I totally agree with what you're saying. They came here because they had to come here. We have to. It wasn't too long ago when we were going across looking for help, looking for work in London or looking for help over in America.
Okay, time is up on that. We're going to take a break. We're back in a minute.
The Late Debate with Cullum O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.
Now, my thanks to all the guests here in studio tonight. Also running in the constituency of Wicklow Wexford are Enthus Sinead Boland, Solidarity candidate Aisling O'Keefe and Independent candidate Pierre Leonard, who were invited to join us tonight. And also running for Fianna Fáil is Pat Kennedy. If you want to, if there were other candidates mentioned throughout the course of the debate tonight, you can look at the candidates in all of the constituencies across the country on rte.ie/constituencies. There's also the Know Your Constituency podcast there available through the RTE player or indeed the podcast platform of your choice. That's our lot for tonight. Mary Elizabeth Bruton was the broadcast coordinator. Research was by Niamh Dunn. Niall McMonagall was on sound. And tonight's programme was produced by our series producer, Penny Hart. I'm back on Saturday lunchtime with Saturday with Cullum O'Mungine, but up here next on RT Radio 1. It's Cathal Murray with Late Date.